Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That'll get the people talking. Start talking about reseeding and conference alignment, man. I'll tell you what.
Oh, I tell you, man. I do like the one you were giving me in the break, talking about how we should seed it more like the NCAA tournament, where somebody on the text line suggested keep the divisions, win the division you're still in, but it doesn't guarantee a home game.
Right. And what I was telling you is, like, if you were to win like the Mountain West in college basketball and go like 29-3, you're going to be in the playoffs, right? Like, you're going to be in the dance. You're not going to be a one seed. You're going to be like a 6 or a 5, right? Like, if the NFL, let's say the Washington Commanders, who go 12-5, don't win their division or don't win their conference.
No, their division, yeah.
Division. Then they shouldn't be a 7 seed, but they could be a 4 seed or a 5 seed. But if you're the Rams and you go 10-7 and win your conference,
you shouldn't get a home game while Washington had to play a road game. No, I like that. Like,
you're still winning and getting rewarded.
Yeah.
But you're not like not necessarily not getting rewarded or getting like shame because you know.
And sometimes you play in the AFC East and your division is really easy. Yeah. So you get a cakewalk into the playoffs. And so, you know, teams that, you know, maybe play in tougher divisions don't get as easy a route, you know, to the postseason. Or some teams, you know, like Minnesota get 14 wins and they don't win their division because, you know, Detroit was what they were.
15-2.
So you don't penalize Detroit or Minnesota by having but again, that takes away from game 272, like we saw the other night, you know? So I guess there's positives and negatives to everything.
Sure.
Change is very hard to enact for a lot of people, especially in sports. But all the ideas that we've had already roll in this morning on the Jay Southland Toe Service Text Line, I like them all. I'm open to everything right now. There's not one where I went, oh, that's a terrible idea. Because I don't think ideas are terrible until you enact them and see what they can do. And an idea may not be your favorite, but by God, if we put it into play, it may turn out to be something good, like the one who had the 2 seed in the AFC plays the 7 seed in the NFC, and the 2 seed in the NFC plays the 7 seed in the AFC. That could be fun too.
And again, it gets people talking, which again, it's like everything in the NFL. My buddy John texted me, said, see the AFC, see the NFC, AFC evens versus NFC odds on one side of the bracket, vice versa on the other. Championship weekend gives opportunity for the best of both conferences to play each other, and then the Super Bowl is best 2 teams regardless of conference. Mm-hmm. Now, again, this is just hypothetical and all that, and just
Cincinnati would still be left out under this scenario, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Because they didn't win the division and they didn't have one of the top 7. I'm just making sure.
Right. Yeah. And I think the other thing, too, is
it's close, though. But to your point, it is close, though, Bob. And like, it's one game. Like,
it is.
What you're changing would just have Cincinnati just walk into the playoffs. Denver, bye bye.
Somebody says, is the NFL broke? Why are you trying to fix it? So let me help you out here, 816. Kickoff rule, overtime rule. Every year, something changes. Maybe not drastically to you, but again, Mahomes didn't get the ball again, and the overtime loss to the Patriots his first year as a starter. When they played Buffalo, they changed the rule after that game.
Right.
Because they're like, all right, enough of this is done. The kickoff rule this year, completely different. Looks like the XFL. The NFL, again, is not broke, but they're trying to fix it little by little by little.
Just because something isn't broke doesn't mean you don't fix it either. Doesn't mean you don't constantly make changes with it and try to get better at what it is that you're doing. Eventually, eventually everything runs its course, right? And if it's the same thing over and over and over again, people are like, all right, I've already seen this act. That's why the NFL is always about change. It's why they move the draft around like they do. Get that city excited for the draft, generate money, all that kind of stuff, doing innovative things. The one that I always point back to was the pass interference rule. Mac, I don't know if you're old enough to remember when they used to be able to challenge pass interference penalties, and then nobody liked that because the refs were never changing the pass interference penalty and changing the review, so they got rid of that rule after that year. So that's the thing with the NFL. You can put all this into place. We can try it out and have fun for a year, and nobody likes it, then we go back.
Again, the text line putting words in our mouths. The kickoff rule is trash. Let's not act like it's better. I didn't say better. I just said they're trying to fix it. I think it's terrible. But I'm telling you, like, no one 3 years ago was, like, sitting in the room going, what if we put zones? And if you don't make the zone, or you do this, like, no one was doing that 3 years ago. They did it last year, completely changed it, and we got to see it. And the NFL, being the power they can be, they'd be like, back to the old days.
Well, and I don't know what they're going to do
with
the kickoff.
Extra points.
Yeah, now the extra point. Yeah. I mean, now when you see a college extra point, how weird do you get? Right? Yeah. You're like, what the hell's going on? Is there a penalty that I miss? Right? Like, I was a fan of the NFL trying something different with the kickoff rule. I was wide open for this. Let me see what it's going to be like.
Right.
I don't care if they go back to the other one. I don't care if they stay with this one. It really hasn't made a huge impact for me. I'm not going to sit out here and say I hate it or I love it, but I love the fact that they were willing to try something different. And if it doesn't work, okay, it doesn't work. Go back to what you were doing, you know?
Another person thing I take the rest of the day off from the 206. My marriage is great, but we keep working on it.
That's true, right? As good as the NFL is, right? And we would all argue, except for Carrington, that the NFL is really good, right?
I mean, we're all here, aren't we?
Right? Like, I love the NFL. It's absolutely glorious. Yes. The colors, the action, the pageantry, everything. It's just everything. It's just the perfect activity, right? Love watching football. Were the games great? No, the games weren't great this weekend. It happens. Sometimes you have bad games. And when you do have moments like that, the thing that you need to do is look inside and go, how could we have made this better, guys? Mm-hmm. There's meetings going on Park Avenue today. I guarantee it. How could we make this better? What can we do to generate more money? How can we have more fan interest? How can we make things more exciting, right? I don't know. Let's try some things different with the playoffs and see where we go. I don't think it's a bad deal at all. And this is the old guy in the room saying that, right? Like usually
we're flip-flopped here, bro.
I love trying things. I love going out there and seeing what could work and what couldn't work. The closed-mindedness that a lot of people in sports have had over the years doesn't help. Just go back to baseball. The changes that baseball made, I don't want to use the term save the sport. It reinvented Major League Baseball. The pitch clock, the bigger bases, the throwing over, all the speeding up of the game, all of that has changed. I like the ghost runner in the 10th inning. Like, it's dramatically reinvented the game of baseball, and there are more people talking about baseball now and falling back in love with baseball because of that. And that's because of change that probably a lot of dudes in their 60s didn't like. But you know what? A lot of other people did like them, and they tried them, and they worked out to be pretty good changes.
All right. This is not good. I know this is not good. I knew it wasn't good as soon as I watched that Chargers game. Get into the script, which is brought to you by Foley.
It's pretty simple. 3:30 Saturday. Feet goes up, football goes on. I think we see one of Denver or the Texans win their game. I think one of those two teams does surprise and win. And the world is against both of those teams. That's why I think one of them is going to win. Steelers, Ravens, I think it's going to be an all-time classic. Nope. I think Lamar wins it at the end with a touchdown run. Commanders, Bucks, I think that's going to be a snoozer. And if Jalen Hurts throws 20 passes, then take the over on Saquon Barkley and rushes it 50 times because I think they're going to use him a lot. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is 100% healthy. You know, they say he is, but, I mean, that guy hasn't played in a long time and is coming out of the concussion protocol. I think the Eagles easily beat the Green Bay Packers. And so that's how I see this kind of weekend shaping up.
Tonight begins one of the better football weekends we've ever had, and it starts with an Ohio State win. That's right, Bob, over Texas.
Yeah.
The Chargers cover against the Texans. People restart the Texans hype train for next year. Herbert looks great in that game. No one gives him any respect because no one ever does. Steelers, Ravens, it's close until the end. Baltimore will squeeze it out. Lamar doesn't look that great. The Bills will blow out the Broncos. Packers, Eagles goes into overtime in the Love Hurts battle. The Eagles will come out on top with an A.J. Brown
Hurts
ceiling touchdown. And Jaden Daniels, he'll show he's a rookie in a loss at Tampa Bay. Sam Darnold shows everyone what he has for 16 weeks prior to last week's game against Detroit and beats former Super Bowl champion Matthew Stafford.
We don't know
about
that. My
script is Baltimore and Pittsburgh will be the game of the weekend. I'm not 100% sold that Lamar Jackson can do it against Pittsburgh again. The last time he did it, he gave the quote at the end of the game, the monkey's finally off my back. But it's also the game of the weekend because of all of the storylines. There's no Zay Flowers. So, Lamar, your number one target outside of Mark Andrews, not playing in this game. Head coach storyline, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin. Both, I get it, they've done everything they need to do as head coach in this league. Their tenure, their respect, their level of success, it's all there. But there will be some sort of, you know, repercussions against the guy that loses this game. The other one I like is Daniels versus Baker. Low-key fire matchup. I know you don't really care about it, but this is a game like we talked about last night via text. I got no dog in the fight. I want to see if Baker can also do it in the playoffs again. Can he continue to be the Baker that has given Tampa Bay reason to believe that they're okay with him being their franchise quarterback? Mike Evans, veteran, on your back. Let Baker Mayfield find you. Be that guy. And then you move over to the other side. Dan Quinn, right? Came back, probably going to, you know, be top three finisher and coach of the year, maybe top four. But you look at what they can do in Washington. Scary Terry, Brian Robinson Jr., all those things they have on their team to be a team that can be, you know, kind of like that Houston Texans role. C.J. Stroud came in last year as a rookie, had a really good year. Daniels, he's going to win rookie of the year. Going into the playoffs, can you make your stay or will this be a flash in the pan? I think this matchup is going to be great. And I think Baker is going to win this game for Tampa Bay. I also think Baltimore is going to beat Pittsburgh, but I'm not 100% sold on that. The other one that I'm looking at in the script is that I really like to see what the Minnesota Vikings will do. I think is the game that we see Sam Darnold kind of figure it out. When it's gut check time, great coaches and good quarterbacks figure out a way to quiet that narrative, and I think Minnesota will do that. Sure. I think this game being transferred over to Arizona.
I think it's huge.
Is
I
a
think
little it's a big factor.
Love the way the Rams play in that game. This.
And I just like Arizona for the Minnesota Vikings. Again, I'm not 100% sold on Pittsburgh losing, but I am 100% on Tampa Bay winning, and I'm 100% on Minnesota beating the Vikings or Minnesota beating the Rams.
You'll see that tonight.
Gosh. Playoff weekend.
Woo.
See, to me, that's why the NFL is outstanding.
Yes.
You think you know, and then, boom, reality check. Justin Herbert, 4 picks.
Justin Herbert stinks.
In the playoffs, yes.
That's all that matters.
Yep.
I would be absolutely shopping Justin Herbert if I'm San Diego. Absolutely.
Everyone would be buying.
I'd be shopping Mike Tomlin if I was Pittsburgh.
And if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm shopping myself at this point in time. I'm telling my agent, go out and shop me.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Mike Tomlin, we will talk about him on the other side as well as those Chargers and Justin Herbert when we get back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it here on a Monday. About an hour and a half left for us here on Fesco and Dusty. Coming up after us, though, Cody, Gold, and Drew from 10 to 2.
Alex is celebrating his birthday today. Brought in a cake for the staff.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Has it already been eaten?
No.
Oh,
fresh
wow.
cake. Fresh, uncut cookie cake.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Smash.
Look how
Sweet.
Excited Dusty got cookie cake. Where? I love a cookie cake,
yeah,
man.
That's bad
People
for me.
People who don't like cookie cakes, I don't understand that. It's a cookie.
Can I be a little bit bougie here?
Okay.
I'm excited. Yes.
I only like the cookie cakes where there's like the ring of frosting around the
That's
edge.
That's all of them, right?
No, some are like loaded. I don't need that much frosting.
Yeah, I get okay. Yes.
See, I love
yes.
frosting. Just give me a jar
of it. The
only
one I love is the buttercream frosting of the Costco cake. Oh.
See, I just love frosting. I'll eat any kind of icing. I don't care. Like, my kids don't like it. You've mentioned people don't like icing.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I missing here? Why
You'll
do I like
straight.
It so much? Yeah, I will. Give me a spoon and... Give me aisle 3 at Hy-Vee, and I'll just go through there and eat the Betty Crocker Ooh. Thing of icing, man. God. Oh, I Ooh. Love it. Oh, you guys don't. Huh? Why? Tell
it's
me
too
why.
Much.
Too much.
Too
okay. sweet.
I'm
too
also
buttery.
Not a sweets guy.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I don't
But
need...
you would smash the cookie cake, though.
Yeah, because it's like a, yeah. I mean, I'm so.
I'm confused.
No, like, I don't know, like, that type of cake, as opposed to, like, a cookie cake, to me, just has different profiles. Like, I will say, though, like, I'm picky about my cakes. I like basically 3 types of cakes. I like
the confetti style classic birthday cake. I love a sheet pan like chocolate cake, and I love the chocolate frosting yellow cake. That's about it.
That's it. What about a cheesecake?
Not huge.
No, okay.
It's just like too much.
All right.
But I mean, I will say for like 7 years of my life, my birthday cake was a French silk pie from Tippins.
That's a good one. Straight up. That's great. But cake they and put pie the number are different.
I know. Yeah, but yeah. Again, not a cake guy.
Yeah.
Love pie.
But you are a pie guy.
Big pie guy.
The strawberry pie from Tippins. I'm going to tell you what. We're getting to that point of the year where the strawberries are going to be coming out again.
Mm.
Get the strawberry pie from Tippins.
Yeah, I love eating pie.
Red velvet? No, red velvet for you?
Way
you.
Too.
Okay.
Like, I'd rather have a carrot cake than a birthday cake.
Oh, I love carrot cake, too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But you can have a carrot cake
There's
for your
veggies
birthday
in
cake.
It. Yeah.
But if it's your birthday. If you want a carrot cake for your birthday, you have a carrot cake for your birthday.
Have whatever you want.
What about an ice cream cake?
Not a huge fan, because the only thing I love is that little, like, caramel
that
cookie cake.
I mean, serious.
If I could, I'd slice the whole cake. Yeah. I'd take the whole top off, and I would just eat that crunchy part.
That's a good thing. I love that part, too. It's the best part of the ice cream cake. What is that? Is that like Oreo cookie?
I mean, I know nowadays you can get like cookie dough, you can get Oreo, but it used to be like chocolate, vanilla, then they'd have like that little like weird frosting on top, and then you got to let it thaw out for like, I don't know, 2 hours, or you can put it back in the refrigerator.
See, I could eat icing all day on these cakes, man. Like, you know, my wife had a birthday cake over the weekend. I'm like, give me the most icing, man. Like, there's a big balloon like in the middle. I'm like, I'll cut that out.
Yeah. No. Do we need to put that as the poll question Wednesday? Pie or cake? Which one do you like? I feel like pie would get beat or would win. I don't know. I also need to try the tiramisu from Jasper's.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll try that Friday.
You can try that on Friday. Yeah,
I do love that. Somebody says, I do like the ice cream cake as long as it's kept in the freezer. See, I was listening that day. I do have that. I want to have a conversation because I've thought about this all weekend, and I thought about it, you know, obviously going into the game on Saturday night. Mike Tomlin. I don't think that I have a bad thing against Mike Tomlin. I just look at things in the past where somebody has done something and they're credible, they're good, they have the resume, but for some reason there is a major red flag somewhere along the way. And I think that red flag in Pittsburgh is that it's just time to just go our separate ways. I don't think that's a shot at Tomlin. I don't think that's a shot at Pittsburgh. But like you have mentioned a couple of times, front office has not really set him up for success.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, like I would feel that if Mike Tomlin is who he is, he should have a lot of say, right? Like opposite situation, Roseman Sirianni. Like if Sirianni goes into Roseman's office, like, what are you doing here? Did you set up an appointment? He's like, I'm the head coach. Like, doesn't matter. Tomlin goes into the head office of the GM. He goes, hey, man, we need to talk. That guy's like, okay, what do you need? What can I talk to you about? Regular season, great. If we, again, he's not a quarterback, but if we compare good quarterbacks to bad quarterbacks like Justin Herbert could be the Mike Tomlin of quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Really good in the regular season, has good records, has good numbers. Playoffs come around. Eh. Again, he's had Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. He's had Mason Rudolph. He's had Duck Hodges.
Yeah.
So, again, I understand that. But, like, if you are Mike Tomlin and you have the clout that Mike Tomlin has, maybe you have to be like, hey, here's who I want. Here's who we should pick. And if that GM's like, yeah, I don't see the same thing. It's the same thing as a relationship. Hey, I like to go out on Friday with the guys, have a good time. Saturday's all us. If they're like, no, Friday and Saturday's us. It just ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get unhappy. That's going to cause an eruption. You let the fire build. Eventually it explodes. So in my opinion, and we bring up Andy Reid all the time,
mm-hmm.
it was just time.
Yeah, sure it was.
Now, granted,
yeah.
Andy Reid had a really bad final season, and Tomlin has had good seasons, never been a losing season.
Right.
But in my opinion, both parties can prevail if both just get away from each other. It's been great in Pittsburgh. It's been a great run. He got a title. He's won, you know, tons of games. But it ain't happening in the playoffs. And if there's some sort of rift in their system, then, hell, have Mike Tomlin go to the Bears. Have Mike Tomlin go to the Saints. Put him anywhere. And if he is that guy, then he'll be successful and he shouldn't have to worry about it.
Well, and I don't think I think Mike Tomlin will be successful wherever he goes. But, why the hate from a lot of people, and I'm not just saying you specifically, but, like, it just seems like more people are anti-Mike Tomlin and more people are fans of this jackass in Miami. Like, we don't give Mike Tomlin
the ability to do anything wrong. I feel like Mike Tomlin is at the end where no matter what he does, people are going to be critical. People are ready to jump. People are ready to pounce on one of the five best coaches that this league has right now. And we're celebrating Kevin O'Connell, who's accomplished literally nothing. Dan Campbell, who's accomplished nothing. You know, we can go through some of these other great head coaches that people consider to be great head coaches and celebrate them. But I feel like Mike Tomlin is held to a different standard. And Mike Tomlin has set the standard for what head coaches should be about. Mike Tomlin may end up being his own worst enemy because they win so much, they're never in position to have a bad draft pick to take a quarterback, right? And so as they continue to win, other teams are drafting quarterbacks and getting guys at that quarterback position because the Pittsburgh Steelers continue to win. If the Pittsburgh Steelers really want to do it right, you trade Mike Tomlin, you get draft picks in return, you have a season that doesn't do well, and then you have your quarterback, your Patrick Mahomes, your Ben Roethlisberger again at the top of the draft. But Mike Tomlin isn't going to do that. He's not going to be a guy that goes out there and loses games so the Steelers can find a way to get their quarterback. We celebrate Jim Harbaugh more. He hasn't done anything in this league. I mean, you know, so I just don't understand why it feels like to me Mike Tomlin is held to such a different standard than everybody else. And it's not a coach that we're keeping on who's 7-9 every year, not making the playoffs. They're keeping a guy on who's never been below 500, always makes the playoffs, and wins with no matter what quarterback's out there. Yet he's held to a different standard than Jim Harbaugh, who's going to get praised for losing in the first round, or Kevin O'Connell, or Dan Campbell, or all these other guys. Like, I just think it's a different standard for Mike Tomlin. And quite frankly, I'm tired of it.
So I can defend that on my part. He has that standard because he's built that standard.
Sure, yeah.
And eventually when you win a title and everybody celebrates you and then you stop winning in the playoffs, he's 8-11 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's not a good record. Marty Schottenheimer was the same way in Kansas City.
Sure.
Him and Peterson rebuilt this team, got it back to the promised land, but what was his problem? He could not win in the playoffs, but he was 14-2, 13-3, 12-4, goes to L.A., does the exact same thing, and they're like, nah, man. 5 years in a row, we can't do this because, again, if you put yourself in the standard of winning, it means absolutely nothing if you do not win when it matters, and when it matters in the playoffs. Yeah. And, again, if you go back to his record in the regular season, they have good records in the regular season. That's why they can't draft quarterbacks. Well, if those good records aren't giving you anything in the playoffs, then what are we doing here? And the one thing that I go back to, which, again, baseball nerd here, you know that, Mike Socia won a World Series with the Los Angeles Angels and then just never went back, never had success, would win regular season games, but eventually they just hung on to that title for years and years and years, which I believe was 2003 or 2002, and against the Giants. And they kept going on and on and on, and eventually it was like, hey, Soch, it ain't working. You're gone. We have to get over this old relationship and try something new. Now, unfortunately for the Angels, and maybe it would be the same way with the Pittsburgh Steelers, it hasn't been great since Socia's been gone, right? They had the best record, then lost to the Royals in the opening round or in the divisional round, got swept, whatever. But again, when you go back and look at the standard that he's created, and I'll go even further back on your comment of Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel took a team that was the laughingstock in that division and made them relevant. Now, again, he's had his time. He hasn't built a standard, but he was in the playoffs last year, playoffs previous year, got beat, can't beat good teams. Now his standard is you need to go beat somebody or you're done in just 3 years.
I'd like to see what Tomlin can do with a quarterback like Tua or a quarterback like,
He was 4-2 at Justin Fields bench and let Russell Wilson finish the season. And the last 3 weeks of the season, Russell Wilson was ass.
Now, like, not good. How much of that comes from the top, though, too? And how much of that is, you know, because I will say there's a complete difference between Mike Tomlin and Marty Schottenheimer. Mike Tomlin is cooking the food with the groceries that were brought to him. Marty Schottenheimer changed in the postseason. And I've learned that over the years talking to guys that were on those teams, especially that 95 team when they rolled into the playoffs. What was 95? The Colts? Was that the Colt loss or was that the Bronco loss? Whatever one that was.
97 was the Broncos.
So 95 was the Colts game, okay? They went in with a game plan and Marty changed the game plan on Saturday for a Sunday game. You ask any of those guys, you're like, wait, well, what? What are we doing? All week we've been working on game plan A and now you're switching it up and going with game plan B. Marty never had confidence in the playoffs. Marty changed quarterbacks when he never should have changed quarterbacks. That ticked the whole team off. Mike Tomlin's going out there and just playing with the operation that was given to him and is playing with the people that were given to him by the general manager. And I'm not arguing that maybe a
change needs to happen for both parties. But I mean, the standard that Mike Tomlin is held to is just insane to me. I feel like
that first, he built himself.
He did, but also the Steelers have built that. I mean, they've been a good franchise since the 60s.
And if he has that standard and he has that clout, I think personally he should be able to do whatever he wants to do. Then with the standard that he's built and the clout that he's created, if the GM's like, why did you put Justin Fields in that game? Because Russ wasn't giving me anything. Oh. And if you're going to question my ability, who's never had a losing season, then I'm out.
And they did put Justin Fields in. He went spectacular in the limited action that we saw. Right. But, you know, what do you need to do? You need to get better at the quarterback position if you're Pittsburgh.
I mean,
you
Brian Daboll has a playoff win since Tomlin's last playoff win.
Yeah, I know. A lot of that.
Zimmer.
Yeah, a lot of that. But so what? Mike Tomlin is still, like, if all those guys are standing on the street.
Anthony Lynn.
Congratulations, Mike Zimmer, on getting engaged, by the way. You think Belichick is, you know, with the sorority girls, Mike Zimmer. I mean,
wow, Zimmer
bringing the blitz.
Yeah, like so you can name all those guys. You're still not taking any of those guys to be
Jason
your head coach.
Garrett has a win in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you're not taking any of those guys to run your team over Mike Tomlin.
That's what
right
I'm saying.
Now.
He
and
doesn't...
it's very similar to Andy Reid. Once Andy Reid got here and then got Patrick Mahomes,
and look what happens.
It changes, right? So they need to find a way. For Mike Tom, for any coach to have success in this league, you got to have that quarterback. You've got to, like, all these coaches that have success are obviously really good, but they also have a running mate in their quarterback. Sean McDermott and Josh Allen, John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud, Dan Campbell and Jared Goff. Like, they have their running mate. Mike Tomlin hasn't had his running mate since Ben Roethlisberger walked out that door. 10 years ago now?
I would also say the same conversation because somebody says there are four coaches currently in the league with six Super Bowl wins. Andy has three, Tomlin, McVay, and John Harbaugh all have one. If we're having the conversation about Tomlin, we should have the same conversation about all of them besides Andy. Here's where your conversation can kind of be invalid but also valid. In the script, I also said if John Harbaugh gets beat by Buffalo this week, you're going to have some sort of conversation in Maryland about what he's doing with this team.
We said the conversation in either Pittsburgh or Baltimore today would have been, what are we doing with our head
because
coach?
Because, look, Tomlin won in what, 07?
No, they won in 09. Oh, Tomlin. Okay, Tomlin.
It was either 7 or 9. 7, 9?
I think 9 because 7 was Giants.
I had to have been 21 because I went and watched that game in a casino. So, again, McVay won his Super Bowl, what, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So it's relevant.
Yeah. How long does the Super Bowl relevancy carry for a coach?
I think you get 5 years. Yeah. I think if it's been half of a decade, then it's time to be like, okay, what have you done? Now again, McVay, still young, still not long. Tomlin again has been with the Steelers for how many years?
Almost 20 now.
And he won one title with a leftover roster. Now again, you've had your debate, I've had mine, with a leftover roster of Cowher.
Cowher doesn't, like, you just took over as Andy Reid had a leftover roster and won 11 games the following year.
They
got the new quarterback. And Alex Smith made all the difference in the world. And you know, he inherited six or seven Pro Bowl players.
Ben Roethlisberger was still a lot of time left on his resume.
Mm-hmm. In his prime,
and also ran into Peyton Manning and ran into Tom Brady, just like all of these guys are running into Patrick Mahomes right now. Like, if you take Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady off the face of the earth, what does the hierarchy of NFL quarterbacks look like right now in this league? How many more championships does Roethlisberger have? How many more championships does Peyton Manning have? How many more championships does, you know, maybe Eli, whoever? You know, I'm just throwing out names of guys that were kind of just below Peyton and Tom in that era. And if you take out Mahomes at this era, maybe Burrow has a title. Maybe Allen has two. Maybe Lamar has one right now.
I just want the same energy for coaches and quarterbacks. Because if quarterbacks can be great in the regular season, but then they go fumble the bag in the postseason, and they're like, well, he's just not good. He's not a good quarterback because he doesn't win when it matters. If Tomlin goes out there and wins 10 games a year, but loses every year in the first round of the playoffs, why is the narrative different?
Yeah, because I think you also have to look at roster construction as well. Did these quarterbacks make mistakes?
But they've been good all year.
They've lost five in a row to finish the year. And that is a little bit on the head coach.
Now they're being like, these guys are jaded. JV. Do you think the team gets tired of hearing that same attitude every time?
And that's fair. That's a very fair point.
These guys are JV. These guys are weak. Eventually that is stale and I'm done with it.
And then that's why you like people always want to have like coaches, you know, have like freak out moments and rip off their uniform and throw the spread.
But
that doesn't work.
Sometimes you need that. That's why the narrative around Vrabel to the Bears was like, you need somebody in there that's a red ass that can wake these kids up. That doesn't always work. Not always, but sometimes a little bit of that can get a little bit of a spark. Maybe Tomlin's like message is getting old.
And there's no doubt. It absolutely. It's clearly not working with George Pickens. The Yankees moved on from Joe Torre. Everybody moves on, right? It happens over the course of time. It does get stale, but it shouldn't be one of those where Pittsburgh is looking to move on from Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin should be really looking to move on from Pittsburgh.
And again, somebody says the difference, though, the player plays and the coach can't throw the ball to the wrong guy. Again, they were so outmatched against Baltimore, who they see every year, twice a year, beat them once this year already, lost the second time against them, and then looked like they were not even on the same planet.
Embarrassing.
And that's part of coaching. Like, if we're going to have this energy towards the athletes, you've also got to have the energy towards the engineer who's putting this all together. Tomlin's great in the regular season. He's ass in the postseason. He's 8-11.
Yeah, but sometimes, too, we don't ever include the general manager in these, because we don't know a lot of who these general managers are. A lot of these guys, like, you know, hide behind. But, like, I mean, you've got to give the coach the ability to win, and that means you got to give them the best players. And until Pittsburgh finds a quarterback, they're going to be this team. Who that quarterback is for this team, I know you got the Raiders looking for a quarterback, the Giants are looking for a quarterback, the Jets are looking for a quarterback, the Steelers are looking for a quarterback.
And I'm not even saying they have to win a Super Bowl, because somebody on the 8-1-6, it's hard to get to a Super Bowl. I understand that. But it's
win a game.
Just show up in the playoffs. Like, if you are a good coach and you have a good team all year, why does it just completely poof away when you get into the playoffs? You played a divisional opponent.
Mm-hmm. Their last five playoff games, they've gotten outscored 63-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
They've scored 0 points in the last five playoff games.
Yeah, it's a bad game plan.
It's not been good.
We're talking about the offense and the quarterbacks. I agree with you. Has not had them. He's a defensive guy. 27 points. 34 points. 29 points, 28 points. Those are four of the last five games.
And I'll disagree with you on that, because I think if you're a good head coach, you're not really beholden to what your quote-unquote side of the ball is. Sean McDermott actually said it yesterday in the interview with Bill Cowher before the game, which I thought was very interesting, when he said, he goes, look, I hired whoever as my defensive coordinator, you know, DC, fill in the blank here, whoever that guy is, right? Joe Brady or Tom Johnson or whatever.
Joe Brady's offense.
whoever the hell his defensive coordinator is in Buffalo, goes, and it's freed me up to be the head coach.
That's fair.
And so, you can't sit there and say that about, you know, well, the defense isn't any good under Tomlin, or the offense isn't any good under this guy or that guy. If you're a good head coach, you're not focused on one side of the ball. You're monitoring everything. You're taking care of everybody. You need me over here in this meeting. You need me in this meeting. You need me in that meeting. I got to go address the media. I got to go beg for money from sponsors. Like, there are so many things that head coaches have to do to have an effective program in the NFL. So I'm not a big believer in that, buying into, well, the defense isn't any good. Maybe they've had some wrong hires, but I think ultimately it comes down to this. If you don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter who your head coach is. You're not going to win.
I'll throw one even at you. People were having this conversation about Andy Reid when he was getting bounced, bounced, bounced.
That's exactly right. They were. And the divorce was needed.
Right.
Just like
I'm talking about in Kansas City. When you lose to Tennessee, Pittsburgh, right, they're like, they didn't even score a touchdown. You lost. Like, what are we going to do with Andy Reid? Mm-hmm. It's like, again, that's the
cloud. And when did Andy Reid get to that next level? He got a quarterback.
Right. But again, that's what I'm saying is, like, but it was also back then, Andy Reid's clock management in the playoffs weren't what they are now.
Everything stands out when you don't have Patrick Mahomes, right?
I mean, I guess you can do that. You can just debunk the whole thing. But I'm just saying, like, Andy Reid built that clout as a great coach in the regular season. And then when the playoffs came, he fell short. Yep. And everybody goes, it's Andy Reid. Now Mike Tomlin does it. It's like, well, George Pickens cries. Mm-hmm. Again, that was the divisional round this weekend. That was the wild card weekend. This is the divisional round, and it is covered by you. Wait, what is going on? Divisional round coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming on the other side. Boy, did the internet go nuts with Josh Allen over the weekend, and it wasn't of a crazy play. It was just a comparison to Patrick Mahomes. On the other side, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Also, don't forget, we've made playoff t-shirts thanks to our friends over at Gates Barbecue. So get here today, 10 a.m. at the studio. We're handing them out. They gonna go quick, man. You give out free stuff, I've noticed in my life in radio, you can give out koozies. Gone.
Pens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carrington looks for them for meals.
Yeah. And I find the trash can. So, again, if you need a t-shirt for the playoffs, our friends at Gates have hooked us up. 10 o'clock, Steven Inspector and Carrington and Rob Brenton will be handing those out in the frigid temperatures. My watch, there's no way this is real. It says it's 3 degrees outside.
Let me see right
what
now.
What does your phone say?
What app do you use on your iPhone?
Weatherbug.
I use AccuWeather on mine.
How accu is the weather?
It says 10 right now.
So my watch is just a fear monger.
Well, it's just I got mine in Overland Park at 10 degrees. Maybe it's colder in Lee's Summit.
I know nobody cares, but I'm so glad the streets are plowed because now my fat ass can go out there and walk, dude. It's been terrible. Yeah. My whole street's just been an ice sheet, but now it's finally got a little bit warmer and they went back through there. Man, it's going to feel so good to finally be able to get back out
there again. My biggest anxiety over these last few days has been I hurt my ankle, right? And I can't run and I'm worried about gaining 30 pounds.
Right.
That's what am I going to do? And then you mentioned the street. I asked my wife, I said, does the city plow Indian Creek Trail? Is that all plowed or not? She's like, no, they don't plow that. I'm like, okay, so the streets it is, I guess.
Because I'm kind of at that point now. It's there's a place in Lee's Summit. And I guess if you're a Lee's Summit resident, you can get this. It's Legacy. It's their park, their area where they do Little League stuff and all that's really awesome. They have an amphitheater there for stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think it's $150, my buddy was telling me this weekend, for a year. And they've got everything you need, saunas, hot tubs, pools,
that's great. Yeah.
Tracks, different levels. I was like, I might as well do it, right?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't bought a gym membership in 20 years.
It's good for the mental health, man. It really is.
It kind of gets you out of the house. Yep. You don't have to worry about the weather.
Yep.
Just drive out there, get your workout in. And I love a hot tub, even though I know they're disgusting. But I'd probably just go to the sauna if I could. Speaking of disgusting, right? Speaking of disgusting.
Have you ever seen a drained? We used to do a party in college where we rented hot tubs.
Well, and at the end, I could see why.
Disgusting. I mean.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Did you guys see the altercation this weekend that sent the Kansas City media and social media? Did you see the same tweet from 25 people? Because I did.
If this was Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. What I tell you, Mac, this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't even
How many did you see of that?
A million.
Thousands of them, man.
Over and over and over. Okay.
Yeah. Get it.
This was the explanation from one J.A.
When the ref came over to talk to you, all the way to the bench, what was he saying? What was wrong?
Was that after... I wasn't happy with what was going on, and I was yelling a little bit, and he just said, don't be yelling. So, my bad. Sorry to Bill.
Did he apologize?
I won't say anything about that.
So he did. So he did. So clearly he did, right? Yeah, clearly he apologized for that, which was a bad call by the refs. I mean, they clearly missed it, right? But that's the stuff that does need to be handled behind closed doors, especially in the age we're in with gambling these days, right? You see the ref go over. I've never seen a ref go over the bench before, right?
The white hat.
Yeah, went over Josh Allen.
Hacho.
Right. Josh Allen just sitting, in case you didn't see it, Josh Allen sitting on the bench. The referee comes over to him on the sidelines, rows deep into the sidelines, right, where the benches are, and is crouched down next to him, talking to him, patting him on the chest.
He pats him.
And Romo's what's going on over here? What's going on with the referee and Josh Allen? Is he apologizing for missing a call? And they did. They blatantly missed a call. It was bad. That happens.
They also gave him a call on a defensive play that led to a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That was not a defensive penalty.
Correct. But you also.
Did he go to Sean Payton and apologize? Did he help rip Josh Allen's fingernail off?
I mean, there was a couple of times Vinovich was over there, kind of talking to Josh Allen. When he got that fingernail injury. We'll go back and watch that video. Vinovich, are you okay?
Literally.
Are you okay, Mr. Allen?
What the hell?
So my takeaway with this was not the fact that everybody else said if this happened in Kansas City, the media would lose its mind. My take on this was we do all the time. Put my feet up on the ottoman, eat my sandwich, and go, see, now you know. See, this happens outside of Arrowhead Stadium. This happens outside of, which is the love for the other team. And I'm with everybody else. Like, I had the same thought process. Didn't tweet it, didn't need to, because 45 other people did in a matter of a minute. But it was one of those things where it's like, when Kansas City media gets this sort of like, well, the refs just do it for the Chiefs and the refs do this. And the text line said it as well. Bob, I've been watching football for years and have never seen this.
Have you guys ever? I've never seen anything like that.
Never in my life. Never in my life. I've seen Tua concussed and haven't seen the ref go over there and be like, are you okay?
I don't remember the refs checking in on DeMar Hamlin like they did on Josh Allen.
Which, in that situation, I am going to play devil's advocate. That was like a serious situation.
No, I know, and that's why I'm using
it. Yeah,
but right before I said it, you had mentioned
the Tua
concussion, right?
Yep.
You've never seen a referee, at least I have, and I could be totally wrong. Bob, you don't know, this happened, blah, blah. Okay, maybe it does. When have we ever seen it?
Right.
I'm just asking. When have we ever seen somebody gets injured, the ref asks if you're doing okay and all this other stuff. And maybe it does with Patrick Mahomes and whatnot. Or, you know, if the ref went over to Josh Allen and said, hey, man, I didn't throw a flag on you, but if you react like that again, I'm throwing a flag on you.
And see,
that's something you do on the,
when do we start getting warnings?
Oh, I think there's a lot of warnings in games. I do. I think.
But like personal warnings. I've seen it on the field where they're all on the field and they're like, hey, kill it. Hey, buddy. Hey.
No, I'm sure it happens a
lot. First off, nice hairdo. He does look good.
Maybe on the field. Yeah, he looks great. Yeah. Great flow.
On the field, I'm sure it happens a lot.
Hey, if I see that again.
I think the refs
we've heard that from umpires, too, in baseball. Like, hey, cut it out.
Right, exactly. Like, I think referees truly are forgiving. Like, they don't want to call these plays if they don't have to, right? And so if there's a knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone type of play where you're like, whatever the case may be, it could have been called not. The ref may go up to these guys and say, look, I'm letting it go this time, but if you keep doing this, I'm going to start calling that penalty. Give those guys the opportunity to correct it themselves before you affect the game.
It was not a good look for the referee.
Terrible look. You do that after the game.
You know, it's not like Josh was like, hey, you know, come here. It wasn't that. It was just one of those things. It's not a good look for the referee.
Right.
Of course, the referees are not held to accountability to say what they had to do after the game. I would have loved to have seen the interview with that referee because I call a cap on the Josh Allen explanation. I don't think that's exactly what was said.
When the ref came over to talk to you, like all the way to the bench, what was he saying? What was wrong?
Was that after?
Hard pause. Yeah.
I wasn't happy.
Wait, hang on. Stop it. He answered the question like he was trying to think of which moment the referee came. There was only one, Josh.
I wasn't happy with.
Oh, that's right. It was after. You know, the other 10
times. I wasn't happy with what was going on, and I was yelling a little.
And the referee, Vinovich, probably said to him, if you tell anybody what I'm saying to you right now, you're never going to get the benefit of the doubt again.
It's like the scene from Old School. You say anything about this, I'll kill you.
That's right.
I'm just kidding.
One of my favorite scenes.
Oh.
But that's like, which one are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you mean the one time that the referee
But did he apologize to you? I'm not going to elaborate on that. Okay.
All right.
So he did.
Yep, what perfect. Happens when people plead the fifth? They're not admitting, but they're not necessarily.
They go away for the while other people who sing and run their mouths, you know, turn people in.
From the 913, my wife hates Josh Allen's hair. I am jealous of that hair. I can't grow that. I grow my hair out. I look like Corey Matthews with no Topanga. It's not a good win. Coming up on the other side, a guy who knows a lot about Topanga, Josh Briscoe. He joins us on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, The Fan.